How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's 4:04 on KMOX. DGS Dave, as you know, stepped out earlier. Today is pellet day, and he'll be rejoining us tomorrow. But the afternoon appointment was the only time he could pull it off. So he took the last couple of hours of the show off, and he'll be back tomorrow. We are still live on the DGS Facebook page. We'll be adding the DGS YouTube channel to that here in the not-too-distant future as well. Mm-hmm. We're enjoying comments and doing all that. Just want to remind everybody, be nice. Especially to each other. You know, I mean, if you're just ribbing us about things that we rib each other about, that's fine. But mean people can get blocked, or I'll click on your profile and find something to pick on you about.
And he will. So yeah, that's my, be good.
That's my preferred way to handle things.
People can make fun of me. It's fine. I don't care. If you want to pick on anybody, just go ahead. How would you say this? Impervious to your insults. No, I enjoy insults. They make me laugh. So that's cool. You can pick on me. So the rest of us are here. Matt Pauly is joining us from Jupiter. Don't pick on Matt, because Matt is about 6'4" and was a wrestler and football player in high school. You don't want to do that. Hi, Matt.
Hi. You make me sound tough. I am not tough.
You're
at all.
The nicest guy in the world, but you are a big man that wrestled heavyweight and you played football and you're 6'4" or whatever the hell you are. You look tall to me.
I am. I was a horrible high school athlete, though, Kevin.
All right, but you still were one of the people that were doing the physical tough sports.
A bad.
I was. I made it through 4 years of it, but I was terrible.
A bad athlete is better than me. So it's like got a lot going over me.
Yeah, but Matt's nice. Matt's like the nicest guy in the world. We appreciate you, buddy. Hope everything's going all right down there. You getting enough sleep?
No, but that's just spring training. You battle through the 4 weeks. You have a lot of fun watching a lot of baseball stuff going on, and you accept the fact that if you ever sleep more than 4 hours a night, that's just a bonus.
Yeah, well, you got my. Part of me is like I identify. I did that for so many years, and I know that while spring training is fun and it's a blast, it's work. Like every day. So for anybody that wants to relate to this, that's like a normie that's never covered anything like that. Just think about the times you've taken your kids to Disney or Six Flags. Like, how do you feel at the end of that day? That's how you feel at the end of a day at spring training sometimes. Mm. Most days. Right?
Yes. Yes. And
it's fun. You had a good day. You had fun, but you're tired.
Right. Yeah. The hours, the fact that Sports Open Line ends at 9 o'clock Eastern and the clubhouse tends to open at 8 o'clock Eastern. It's long days, but again, I'm watching baseball. It's tiring, but it's a whole lot of fun and I'm glad to be here.
All right. So we'll start with Cardinals. And I got a few other spring training things I want to throw at you that are obviously relevant to the Cardinals, because I'm sure some of them you're hearing. And then another one we will all be experiencing here starting in a few days. But what's new today? Anything interesting? Anything from Ollie that caught your attention? You see anything fun on the field?
Yeah, so today was like a ramped up spring training day. They used all five fields for live BPs. Each field had about, we were doing Gas House Gang today, Tom Ackerman and I, and somebody asked, like, how did Steven Matz look? I'm like, there are five fields going on. I tried to bounce around as much as possible, but I did not see 1 second of Steven Matz throwing. I was not at his field when he was doing it. So Lars Nootbaar hit a bomb off of, I believe it was Ryan Fernandez, if I remember correctly. You don't hear a lot of reaction during these days.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I heard it off the bat, and then I heard his group of guys that he was with in a hitting group, and I heard the fans. I mean, that thing probably went 450 feet. It was an absolute missile. A lot of talk today from Oliver Marmol about Brent Brown, his impact, about the team, what their approach is going to be to try to be better hitting with runners in scoring position and doing things situationally from a hitting standpoint. So, Kevin, there was a lot today, which
is good. You had some action. These are the good days. So was Lars on one of the fields where the wind was blowing out? Because I understand via Twitter and I think via Derek Gould's story that the wind was blowing out a bit today. I know Wilson Contreras apparently took advantage of that in batting practice. And Brant Brown had, in that story from Derek Gould, one of my favorite lines ever. And the line was, If Mother Nature calls, you take her out. So the wind's blowing out. You got to go hit home runs, and apparently some of the guys did.
Yeah, so my favorite like Brant Brownism today actually came from Oliver Marmol. He said, people are in the cages in the morning or whatever, just kind of loosening up. And he said, if you walk into the cage in the morning and you're just there to kind of get things going and you don't have a lot of intentionality to what you're doing, you're out of the cage immediately.
Nice.
He's just going to pull you out. Like that's, he is very intense and very intentional in everything that he does. I have not gone, he's everywhere at every moment, and I haven't gotten the chance to like stop and talk to him yet. He's on my list of people that I want to get to know.
Dude, hitting coaches are impossible to talk to.
Yeah.
They're almost impossible. I don't think people realize how busy they are. Like when John Mabry was on the staff here, I knew John Mabry reasonably well. He was friendly with me. I was nice to him. We'd done some charity things. He's a really great guy. And he was always so busy, there was just never time to sit down and talk for 10 minutes because you have to go throw BP and you got to work with this guy and you got to work with that guy. And the nature of it is that you can't work with eight guys at once. So it's going to be eight different guys at eight different times. It just has to be.
Yes. So, that's the nature of the beast here in spring training, and especially, they haven't done any cutdowns yet. There's a lot of guys here. And like I said, when you've got five different live BP sessions going on, you don't have five pitching coaches and you don't have five hitting coaches. So the staff is really spread out very thin in those kind of situations.
All right. So a couple of things I want to get into that are baseball wide, but they absolutely apply to what you're doing down there in Jupiter. Did you see either on Twitter or the story in The Athletic today from Tyler Kepner and all of the Athletic contributors with their list of the best spring training cliches?
I did not.
So I'm going to ask if you've got one that stands out to you. Like, is there, when you're down there, you're interviewing players, you're interviewing the manager, whether it's, you're interviewing Mo. There are a lot of cliches in spring training, man, and we hear them all, which is why it is. So are there any that stand out to you? You're like, yeah, I hear this every year.
Well, the number one is best shape of my life.
I mean, the best shape of my life. Really hit the gym this offseason. Added muscle.
That's number one. Yep, yeah. That's number one. Hitters will tell you when talking about pitchers and stuff. The hitter will tell you, if you're doing the things right or not. That's one that's in there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Let's see, I'm trying to think. I mean, just overall baseball-wise, it's not spring training, but the classic one is don't like it, play better.
That's my favorite one. I love that one.
Yeah.
If you don't like being criticized, play better. If you don't like not playing, play better. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one.
I don't know. What else?
I'll throw some other ones
at
you. Okay. So Katie Wu threw this one out there. She obviously covers the Cardinals for The Athletic. The quote is, I think we can surprise some people. I guarantee you that is coming up in 20 different camps. I guarantee
in Pittsburgh, they're saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying it in Jupiter. I've heard people say it, or at least a version of that, right? Another one that they're using is, I just hope we can all stay healthy, which is not only a cliche, but I think it's obviously everybody's hope. That's just the big deal. I bet you've heard this one, Matt, whether just recently or in the past. Just getting my work in. Just getting my work in. So when a guy has a bad day, like you'll hear this when the games start this weekend and a pitcher gets rocked. Just getting my work in. Just throw him a fastball today, whatever. You're always going to hear that one. How about
if somebody performs well, it's real.
Yeah.
If somebody does not perform well, it's just getting your work in.
How about this one? I this is not in the story, but I heard our mutual friend Mike Farron talking about it today with Jim Duquette. They love the talk that managers love is a lot of competition here. This is a competition. This is a competition. And at the same time, you always hear that spring training results aren't supposed to matter.
Yes. That's in fact, Ollie talked about that a little bit today. Somebody asked him, how do you evaluate?
Yeah.
Basically, how do you evaluate? And I think it's really tough because the results from Grapefruit Leagues can't not matter.
Right.
But they also can't only matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, they don't matter for someone who already has a track record. They don't matter for Wilson Contreras. They don't matter for Sonny Gray. They do matter for people that are fighting to get on the team.
Yeah, and the other thing about this is, and people are going to roll their eyes when they hear me say this. I get it. Everything that's going on in the backfield is tracked. I mean, we've got the cameras and the computers and everything back there. So there, you know, last year it was a thing. There was a bunch of pitchers who rarely got into a Grapefruit League game. They did everything on the backfields, and you can measure some things. And at times that can be more valuable in the evaluation process than what's actually happening in a random inning or a random two or three plate appearances in a Grapefruit League game.
Fascinating stuff. All right, so that was a laugher. This one's a little bit more interesting because it's not coming to Major League Baseball regular season games this year, but it's coming. And that's the automated balls and strikes system, and they're going to use a challenge system, and that's going to be implemented this spring. Every team will have games with it. I think the Cardinals have something like 20, 21 games where there will be the challenge system in place. So think of it like the challenge system in football, for those of you that don't know, for balls and strikes. You have two challenges. If you use one and you're right, you don't lose it. So you could have unlimited challenges if you're getting them all right. But if you get two wrong, you're done. You're done for the day. So they're experimenting with this. They've been doing this in AAA. They've been doing this in the minor leagues. The challenge system is preferred by everybody involved, rather than straight up having the robo-umps, as people like to call them, call everything balls and strikes. Here's why I wanted to bring this up to you. One, obviously, this is an added element for teams to consider and practice and get used to this spring. So you're going to see this if you're watching or watching games, or if you're listening to John and Rick, or listening to you on the broadcast, or Klaibs. Like, this is going to come up in the spring quite frequently, so I wanted to get everybody kind of ready for that thing. But I also noticed that was really interesting is that Major League Baseball, in preparing the players and teams for this implementation, sent out a presentation. And a part of the presentation showed the data as to how big the strike zone is, and they use square inches to measure it. Don't worry about that. That doesn't really matter. But they showed how the strike zone is, how big or small it is, based on the count. So according to Major League Baseball data, in hitters' counts, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, the strike zone for human umpires gets bigger.
Hmm.
And in pitchers' counts, 2-2, 1-2, 0-2, the strike zone gets smaller. So using the square inches, a 3-0 count at the extreme had the biggest strike zone at that of pitches thrown at that count, 550 square inches. Again, that number doesn't mean anything to anybody. Just use it to compare to the 0-2 strike zone, which is 412 square inches. So we're talking about a 20 to 25% difference in the size of the strike zone on those two extremes based on the count with human umpires. And again, I think it just shows you kind of the subconscious mind and how things work, right? You know, pitcher's got the big advantage, make him earn it. Hitter's got the big advantage, make him earn it, rather than making it too easy. But with the ABS system, it's going to be the same regardless of count, which is fascinating.
Well, how often do we see the 3-0 pitch that's not really in the zone?
Oh.
The hitter takes the half step towards first and then the strike's called.
Well, I mean, how many times do we hear Mike Shannon call that the old automatic? There's the old automatic. Yep.
Yeah. So the 3-0 zone is huge, and it's always been huge.
Yeah.
And now maybe you can take advantage of that, and that could result in more walks. So I'm excited to see how this plays out. I have, by the time I got out of minor league baseball, they had not implemented it. So I have never seen in person a game with the ABS system in my life. I'm excited to see it. And I think more than anything else, it can right some wrongs. Hopefully teams no longer have situations where an egregious bad call in a big situation has a profound impact on a game.
That's what I like about it. Now, again, if a team used its challenges and they lost them, then they won't have that in that big moment later on. But, you know, again, this is not the final system. This is not necessarily...
Don't like it, be better.
Right. This is not necessarily going to be what we see in the big leagues. It might be three challenges per team. You know, there may be you get two challenges up until the seventh inning, like with replay, and then from that point on, it's up to the umpires to say yes or no to a request or whatever. But it's really interesting because, and I think most people like the challenge system, the people that have lived through it, because it moves fast, it doesn't disrupt. I think they said it added something like 17, 18 seconds to the length of the game, adding the challenges, so it wasn't super long. You're not even talking about minutes. You know, and I think it could eventually, right? A team could conceivably have like 8 or 9 challenges. But those take just a few seconds because they're just going up to the booth, and the booth's going to look, and the ABS system will have already ruled it a ball or strike. It's not a replay. It's not a review. The ABS will have already ruled it a ball or strike, and all it's going to be is, hey, what does it say? Ball or strike, boom. It literally is going to be seconds to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like tennis. You know, those replays are very quick.
Fascinating to see how that's going to play out. And they also showed, by the way, we'll close on this, Matt, the difference between the human called zone and the ABS strike zone. So the humans tended to call more pitches for strikes off the plate. Obviously, duh, because the ABS is not going to do that. It's only going to call. But they're going to measure the height of every player during spring training so that each player has a correct strike zone for them. I thought that was cool.
I think that started today. I was looking at the itinerary.
Oh, was it happening today?
And it said measurement, strike zone measurement. So that was going on with the Cardinals, I believe, today.
All right. Well, 24 Cardinals spring training games are going to have this in play. So looking forward to that. All right, buddy. Have a good night. We will chat with you at 5:15 tonight. And obviously, we'll hear from you tomorrow here on KMOX.
Sounds great.
See you, buddy.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on DGS. Andrew, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What? Why are you nervous to ride the train, and what kind of trouble can you get into on the train? Why are you worried?
I had the same question.
I am just worried I might get in train trouble.
What's train trouble?
I don't know yet. I haven't gotten any yet.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know how any of this works.
Screaming naked through the aisle?
I don't know how any of this process works.
He's
I don't know.
Go to train jail.
I don't know what it's like on a train. I don't know what it's like to ride the train. I don't know.
You've never ridden a train before.
It's like riding a slow airplane.
Kind of,
basically never done that either.
It's got a little more. You got more leg room, so it's nicer than that, right? You've got some room to move around. But basically, it's that. You're in a tube, and you're moving in a direction, and that's about it.
Just don't make your neighbors mad. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know how not to do that.
Well, you may not. How would you make a neighbor mad on a plane?
I don't know. I don't know what it's like on one.
He has a story where he wouldn't start farting.
Yeah, don't fart. Here you go.
Yeah.
You probably have a little more farting leeway on a train because there's a little more space. It's a little more airy.
All right, that's good to know.
But I don't know about the specific ride you're taking. I don't know if it's going to be crowded
from Alton to Chicago.
Well, but I'm saying most planes are full. Most trains I've been on are not.
Really?
Yes. Most of the time I've ridden a lot of Amtrak back and forth over the years from like from Ann Arbor, Michigan to Chicago back and forth. And maybe it's just that route. Yeah, I know. Look at me, big shooter. I did that route quite a bit, and I don't remember very often having more than just a handful of people in the car with me.
You do wonder how they keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like I watched all those train videos this past weekend of people going across the country on a train. I'm like, I love trains. I'm not sure I would make that choice to spend 5 days of my life on the train.
Not on the cross country thing.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about that, though, compared to, say, driving, because if you wanted to make that trip and drive, you got to stop and get gas.
Yes.
You have to stop to go to the bathroom.
You have to be
paying
attention the whole time.
Right. Versus a train, you can be reading, scrolling, sleeping. You've got the bathroom right there on your own car.
Yeah.
So, and every car has one or two. So,
I'm excited for you, Andrew. I think you're going to have a lot of fun on the train.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
It's going to be fun.
I am looking forward to it. I'm just like a little nervous. I don't want to get in train trouble.
I want you to because it'd be great content.
What if the conductor came out and he was like, young man, you were in official train trouble.
I know. That's kind of my fear. He puts me under train arrest.
What are they going to do?
He puts me under conductor's arrest.
They're going to lock you in the crapper for the rest of the ride?
They're going to make him stand on the balcony on the caboose. They're not going to let him into the train.
They're going to put a sign on him that says, I'm a bad boy. But I'm glad
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.